This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org.
The following sermon was preached on Sunday, December 4th, 2022, the second Sunday of Advent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee for the wrath to come?
May the words of my mouth and meditation upon my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
I cannot help but to have a smile on my face, and I have actually chuckled out loud a couple of times, thinking if John the Baptist were a student in a seminary in our day and age, and for his first preaching exercise, he did this one, he would be asked to leave. That's all there is to it. You brood of vipers, who has showed you to flee from the wrath to come? This is not a condemnation in John's preaching whatsoever. It is a condemnation on our approach to what sound messianic preaching is. Because this man received the Holy Spirit before he was born. John the Baptist is the only human being, aside from our Blessed Virgin Mary and our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we celebrate his birthday. Not his day of his death, as in his heavenly birthday, his birthday. Why? Because he had been sanctified before he was born. This man was imbued by the Holy Spirit to set the path straight for the coming Messiah, and this is how he preached. This is an example for us. This is the Holy Spirit showing us what the message is. This is the reality of things. And we need to make our faith real. Niceties are just that. They're niceties. They're not substantive. We need to have substance in our faith. We have to truly believe something that has been presented and revealed to us. This is the message. And you would think that the preaching would go on and go, well, okay, yeah, he's all up in their face about hell being all fire and brimstony and whatnot. Okay, where's the lightening up part? You brood of vipers, who has showed you to flee from the wrath to come? And the very last words of the gospel passage today, he will cast them into unquenchable fire. This isn't where you approach this and go, how can we talk about this? It's going to be Christmas time soon. This is the Christmas message. The Christmas message is a Christmas message of joy. And you don't really have joy if you don't realize that you didn't have it before. You go to church every week, and you hear about niceties and niceties and niceties all the time. You take for granted the whole joy thing. I use this as an example, as one who has struggled through this. The vast majority of people in this room woke up this morning and they're cancer-free, right? That's a good thing, right? That we're cancer-free when we wake up in the morning, the vast majority of us. But do we appreciate that? Well, yeah, to a certain extent. You don't appreciate it near as much as if you woke up one morning or during that day, you heard that you're not cancer-free. And then all of a sudden you are. You have a particular joy when you are cancer-free after you had cancer. The joy that we have for Christmas is made tremendously more pointed when we understand that the Christmas message of salvation is being saved from something objective. It's being redeemed from this wrath to come. To be redeemed from what is our sinful human nature and to brought into the glories of Christ's church. This is joy, here and now, and pray God in the future. But I mean, this is the reality. St. John the Baptist is preparing the way for the Messiah. This is messianic preaching. hey, well, St. John the Baptist just had an attitude problem. He's all up in your face. And then we got Jesus coming. He lightened things up. Oh, really? John, you brood of vipers, who showed you to flee for the wrath to come? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you generation of vipers, how can you speak good things whereas you are evil? Like another place, our Lord Jesus Christ. You serpents, generation of vipers, how will you flee from the judgment of hell? It's definitely messianic preaching when the Messiah preaches that. I mean, it's a no-brainer. This is the message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you need to be repentant for things, and you need to be redeemed from a certain condition, a sinful and fallen condition, which affects every single one of us. But it didn't affect everybody, because he was talking to the Sadducees and the Pharisees there. Unless you read the Gospel of Luke, when we get the same scenario, and Jesus directs that remark to, or John the Baptist points that mark to everybody who's there, not just the Pharisees and the Sadducees, everybody. Okay, because that is our spiritual condition. Our first parents sinned, and because of their sin, that's passed down to us. They are our parents. And you'll notice our Lord, nor John the Baptist, he doesn't look at it and say, you vipers. John the Baptist says, you brood of vipers. Now, a lot of people read that and go, you group of vipers. No, you brood of. A brood is the offspring of something. Jesus is talking about their parents. Jesus basically throwing that your mom thing. Whoa. I mean, really? You brood of viper? This is what he's talking about. You guys got to understand that you come from sinners. There is nothing good in you. You're dead in trespasses and sins when you're born. You need to be redeemed from that. That's what I got. And you should have great joy that I have come and redeemed you from this objective condition in which you find yourself. This is what St. John the Baptist, the precursor of our Lord, and then our Lord repeats, the Messiah himself. So this is the reality of things. I mean, Jesus, well, I don't see that with the brood of vipers saying, okay, let us go to chapter 23 of the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus said, you are the sons of them that killed the prophets. Yeah, he's talking about their parents definitively there. Or you can go to John 8, where he really gets up in your face and looks at them and says, you are of your father, the devil. It's the reality of things. And this, again, this is, if we embrace that reality, which we hardly, I'll get into that in a little bit, would we hardly ever hear anymore, if ever, that reality, that there is a redemption from a certain condition, it becomes much more joyful when we hit Christmas time, when we actually understand the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and what this entails and what a change in us this makes. You know, I said last week when we started talking about Advent, I said, you know, Jesus coming as Redeemer is past tense. We know all about that. So why do we still have Advent? Why do we still anticipate the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? Because he's coming again. That whole second coming thing, he came the first time as a Redeemer. I love the t-shirt on the front. The Lamb has come, and on the back, the Lion is coming. The Lion of Judah. What is John the Baptist talking about when he says, who has shown you to flee from the wrath to come? He's definitely not preaching about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ as the Redeemer. He's speaking eschatologically. He's speaking about the future. He's speaking about the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every single one of you need to be warned to flee from the wrath to come. What's wrath? The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, something else that, we need Jesus to come back and set things straight. You don't want to be anywhere around when Jesus Christ comes back. If anybody has ever bothered to open this book, they would know that. It is unequivocal. It is inarguable if you read like 2 Thessalonians. And if you listen to John the Baptist or our Lord Jesus Christ, how are you going to flee from the judgment of hell? The only way we can flee from that is through him. We flee to him. We flee to the cross. So when John the Baptist talks about the wrath to come, he's talking about the personification of grace and mercy coming again. That's our Advent. That's what we prepare for. We look forward to the coming, and we should. If you're in a state of grace, if you're in union with Christ, you have nothing to fear about the judgment. Nothing. It shouldn't enter your mind, the judgment, if you are in union with Christ. And this is the message of St. John and our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the judge. No, he's not. John chapter 3 says, God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to the world should be saved by him. And it was, past tense, at the cross. And now Jesus has ascended into heaven. And after he ascended into heaven, everything changes. He is the Redeemer, past tense. And we know that because the Holy Spirit moved St. Peter in one of his first sermons to say he commanded us to preach and to testify that it is Jesus who is appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. You ever think about that, the living and the dead thing? Because most of us, when we think about our Lord Jesus Christ's judgment, what do we think about? Well, after you die, after I die, are you stand before the judgment seat of Christ? Oh, yeah, definitely. But it doesn't just say the judge of the dead. It says the judge of the living. This puts us on notice because Jesus Christ is the judge of the living. That means he, every moment of every day, is judging your union with him. And the fruits of that union are how you live your life and how you approach him and how you view him. It's not a matter of niceties. This is the joys of Christmas. Because you really think about it, the absolute dire state of those who do not know these truths, and I dare say most of your Catholic friends would probably get up and leave from, you know, if they come visiting today. I'm kind of surprised. I mean, not a whole lot of it. You know, I like when the bishop comes. My Sundays kind of lighten up a little bit because everybody follows him around. But anyway, when we look at this truth, and the realities of the necessities of Christmas, then we have this particular joy, and we don't wind up as chaff, as St. John the Baptist. What is chaff? Well, we don't use that word all that. Chaff, what's chaff? Chaff is the part of wheat that is worthless and useless. And John the Baptist says that's what you are. If you are that, you will be thrown into quenchable. How am I useless? If you don't do what Jesus Christ commands, if you don't tell people this message, you need to go back to Mass. A lot of people, if they do present that to a wayward family member or friends, you need to go back to Mass. Usually get excuses. But what if they looked at you and went, why? Why do I need to go back to Mass? It's easy. You don't have to think of anything to flee from the wrath to come. The wrath that abides over you for not going to Mass. The wrath that abides over you for living a sinful life. That is the reason you need to go back to Mass. Because hell awaits. That's the message. Oh my gosh, they'd get mad and never come back to dinner. Oh well, you do not want to be looked upon as chaff. Because if you don't tell them, because you don't want to offend them, you are useless and worthless in the sight of God. This is a negation of the Great Commission. We're not fulfilling our responsibility. And yeah, hell's a real place, okay, contrary to what some bishops will tell you. To question the existence of a hell is to just blatantly deny the teachings of the Catholic Church. That's called heresy. And it's not just a place where you go for a little while. St. John tells us you'll be thrown into an unquenchable fire. And St. John, you know, he was always up in your face. St. John is just repeating what the Old Testament prophets talked about when he talked about hell. Isaiah chapter 30, the eternal fires of hell are kindled by the breath of the Lord. Okay, if God is eternal, then his breath is eternal. And if they are the fuel of the fire of hell, it's eternal. Okay, that's the message there. Okay, this is why, again, we do the soul searching and make sure we're in union with him. Because one commentator says, I quote, we live our lives addressing ourselves to Jesus Christ to prevent by a prompt and sincere conversion that dreadful judgment which the just and severe judge will most undoubtedly pass upon sinners. Undoubtedly. You can't read just a little part of this book and ever not hit that. And it's just unfortunate we live in an age where people don't open this book and they rely on what they hear on Sundays, the niceties, and they never get this reality. So, consequently, why should I talk to my friends? Because everybody's going to go to heaven anyway because hell might not even exist. And all that. That is the danger of this whole thing. That's why this needs to be presented. And it's not being presented. I mean, if it's not presented, you get people who think they're okay. St. John the Baptist looked at the Pharisees and said, why didn't the Pharisees didn't fear hell? Why didn't they fear hell? It tells us right there, because they claim to be children of Abraham. And St. John cuts them off. They presume on God. We're the chosen people. We're the Jews. We have the law. We have the prophets. So we're okay. We don't have to worry about hell. Doesn't have anything to do with that. It has to do with repentance and embracing Jesus Christ. So they didn't believe it. Hell doesn't mean anything to me. You know, in our day and age, that's a lot of Catholic. Oh, I don't have to go to Mass because I'm baptized and confirmed. I'm a Catholic. I'm good to go. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Don't be presumptuous. That's a grave sin in and of itself. The Pharisees, they didn't care about hell because of their own righteousness. The Sadducees, they didn't, why? The Sadducees didn't believe in it. You can't be afraid of anything that you don't believe. They didn't believe in an afterlife. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in hell. So what difference does it make? I don't have to believe that. I'm not scared of that because it doesn't exist. When a bishop will get in front of people in Catholic Church that will listen to him and he's got a platform and say, there might not even be a hell, that same thing applies. Oh, Bishop so-and-so, and he's real popular. He said there might not be a hell. Okay, I don't have to worry about that. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. And so, you know, it's just not the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You know, there are many clerics in the church, some in a position of very high authority, who are negligent in speaking of this reality. And this is reality. This hard reality is the darkness from which the Lord has taken us. This makes the light just that much brighter. This makes the joy just that much more profound when we look at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ that saved us from this stuff. But we have to understand that he saved us from something. And it is, you know, oh man, I came and it's getting to be ready to be Christmas time and I want to, even the hint, you know, everybody loves the, you know, the 24/7 Christmas music that like starts in September on some stations, okay? In the Christmas year, listen to some of the greatest Christmas hymns, some of the greatest carols that we love. God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. Oh, I love that one. To save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, Holy Night. I love it. No, don't even go there with Oh, Holy Night. That's the beautiful. That we hear that at the midnight mass. Long lay the world in sin and error pining. Not long lay bad people, long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. That is the message. We are saved from something. Are you saved? From what? You know, most people, yeah, I'm saved. I go to church on Sunday and Jesus said, from what? You don't understand what you're saved from. You don't appreciate. That's all there is to it. John's question. This is the glory. This is what we should revel in. John looks out pointedly. And there's always an answer to every question. Are you saved? You know, why should I go back to Mass? St. John, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? We got an answer for that. Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit through Scripture. He's warned us. He warns us more than he talks about cursings more than he does a blessing. He has warned us time and time and time again about these things. And I've heeded the warning. This is our faith. We've heeded the warning. We have an answer to the question to John the Baptist. Who warns you to flee from the wrath to come? Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. Excellent. This is heeding the warning. And we have to present it to others. They need to heed it also. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.